The title of the message tonight is Take Off the Limits. Won't you turn to somebody and tell them, take off the limits. Take off the limits. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. I'm going to give you several scriptures here. Because, Pastor Cindy and I were talking a little earlier, and so we're just kind of talking about what do people need to know about this church? When people come here for the first time, what do they need to know? What are the things that people should expect? And what are the things, and if you know Pastor Cindy, you know she has a passion for the Word of God. I mean, she's doing everything she can to get people to do what? Read their Bible. And start from the beginning and read it all the way through. And I mean, she is hot, passionate, hot about that, right? Which is wonderful. I'm passionate about that myself. But she's taking it to a whole new level, right? And so, which is wonderful. And she says, so people need to know that we're passionate about the Word of God here because we know what the Word of God will do in their life. And she said, you know, and so we're thinking about ourselves and each of us. And she said, and they really need to know and understand that when you get up there behind that pulpit, you expect the supernatural to happen. You expect the power of God to be in this house. You expect miracles to happen and healings to happen. And she's absolutely right about that. And I want to tell you, when you have the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit working together, literally nothing is impossible. And so Genesis 18, verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Somebody please answer that question. No, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. So in its context, he's talking to Abraham, and we know, if you know the story, they are at an age where people aren't having babies, all right? And so he tells them, the Lord lets them know that this is going to happen, and it just seems so impossible. And he asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Because I don't know about you, but if somebody told me that were going to happen, even at my and Pastor Cindy's age, and we're not in our 90s or 80s yet, right? But if anybody were to tell us that were going to happen with us, I would be thinking, no, that can't happen. Ain't going to happen, can't happen, right? But he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. Numbers 11:23. The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. Man, I'm telling you, these are scriptures I'm giving to you right now that you need to tell your own brain from time to time. Because every single one of us are going to be faced with impossible situations. It's part of life. But you need to tell yourself that. You need to ask yourself these questions. You know, is the Lord's arm too short? What's the obvious answer? No, you will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. That's a good thing to know. Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And he asked the question again, is anything too hard for me? Luke chapter 1, verse 37, directly says, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 18:27, Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. I can't tell you how many times I've seen impossible situations not only become possible, but happen. Over and over and over again in my life, I have seen that happen. You know, the school that Pastor Cindy and I went to is called IBC. It was International Bible College. And I love that the theme of that college, although the name was International Bible College, the theme of that college with the IBC was impossibilities become challenges, right? If it's impossible, and if God said it, that's a challenge for us to believe him. Amen? All right. Again, Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, I could stand up here, and many of you could too, but tell you miracle after miracle after miracle that I've seen in my life. Healing after healing after healing. Impossible situation after impossible situation after impossible situation. And God has always done it. Now, I'll tell you, there have been some things happen that I didn't understand. There have been some people that, you know, I've prayed for that didn't get healed or that didn't, you know, live or whatever. There's been many of those times, but there's been so many times where God intervened and his power was made manifest that it's too many to say, oh, well, that just was a coincidence. And I've told you guys, the doctors had told her, Ms. Daigle, you're going to have to start getting ready to go on dialysis. Your kidneys are failing, and they're failing fast. And there's nothing they can do about it. And so nobody's even touching her. She's sitting on the second row right here. Nobody's even touching her. But it's just during the praise and worship time, and we're singing this song, I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you're my healer. And as we're singing it, and as those words come out of her mouth, God manifests himself to her. And literally, I remember, I was standing up here, and I remember seeing my mom begin to just cry and cry. And then she sat down, and I didn't know what was going on with her. And then after the praise and worship time was over, I walked over there and said, Mom, are you okay? She said, Son, God just healed me. I know it. I felt it. I know I'm healed. And I'll never forget, she went back to the doctor that, I think it was that Tuesday, and she had an appointment, and she went back to the doctor, and here's the amazing thing. The kidneys were completely healed, 100%. They're still functioning, 100%. This was years ago. They instantly were healed. The doctor said, this is impossible. This does not happen. And so, because they had been going down for a long time, it wasn't like just some little passing thing going on. And so she's instantly healed. But not only that, they start running all kind of other tests. She was on all kind of different medications for all kinds of different things. And he starts pulling her off of medication after medication and saying, you don't need this. You don't need this. This ain't a problem anymore. You don't need this. Took her off of four or five different medications, and her kidneys were totally, completely healed. And so, again, my mind is full of those events and full of those things. I want to always give thanks and praise to God. And there are many times I'm going to share testimonies more than once because I want him to get maximum, I want those things to have maximum impact and God to get maximum glory. And so I find myself many times out in public, I'll be talking to people I don't even know, strike up a conversation, and we're going to start talking about miracles. It won't take long. And we'll start talking about the wonderful things that God has done. And when people hear those things, of course, they say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Because everybody's got problems, all right? We see from the Old Testament to the New Testament that God is capable of doing anything that God wants to do. How many of you would agree with that? And that nothing is impossible. Our job is to find out what his will is. Because if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us and we have that which we ask, okay? So there's no question about whether or not God can do it. Our question comes, does he want to do it? And does he want to do it for me? I mean, I can understand him wanting to do it for somebody else. But we have all these disqualifiers in our own mind why he wouldn't do it for us. And until you resolve that and know that he wants to do it for you, you can't have faith for it because faith begins where the will of God is known. All right? And so, again, nothing is impossible when it comes to God. Nothing is impossible. And if nothing is impossible, then we must ask ourselves, why do we panic? Why do we worry when bad things seem to happen? Because I'm going to tell you, we live in a broken world. We do. You know, Tim was talking about tonight. I mean, he was just upset because he saw this, or he saw the after effects of it. I want to tell you, things happen all the time. The other day, Pastor Cindy and I were driving, and literally, so we're behind an 18-wheeler, and there was another 18-wheeler on the side of the road that apparently had started driving. Well, we can't see it because we're behind another 18-wheeler. And so I saw it as we were coming up, and I started trying to warn Pastor Cindy because I saw that 18-wheeler as soon as the one passed. And we were, I don't know, we were a little ways back behind it, but that other one just started moving right into the lane where we are. And so, you know, and things happen so fast, right? I mean, and I'm telling you, that guy was, I mean, he was about to hit us. There's cars on the left side of us. We can't move over. And we come running up on it so fast, and he just pulled over literally right, well, like, our car was like at the back wheels of his trailer, and he's coming in on us. And so I'm hollering, stop! You know, I ain't hollering at the truck. I'm hollering at her. I ain't driving. How many of you know that's a bad feeling when you're not the one driving and your life flashes before your eyes, right? And so, man, she literally had to slam on the brakes on the interstate, slam on the brakes, and thank God nothing was very close behind us that could have hit us because, I mean, we slammed on the brakes. And when she did, it put us back kind of behind the truck, and the truck came on into our lane. I'm telling you, that could have been it, right? In an instant, in a moment. And so things happen. Things happen all the time. We live in a broken world, but it doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change what he can do, and it doesn't change what he longs to do. So if God really is able to do anything, if nothing is truly impossible, then what's wrong? I can tell you this, the problem doesn't lie with God. I've met a lot of people over the years, they're mad at God, just mad at him. They blame him for everything. They blame him for everything that the enemy does. They blame him for the stuff that sin has caused in the world. God gets all the blame. And so the problem doesn't lie with God. It's not because he can't do it. It's because we don't place ourselves in a position many times to receive from him. So there is always, and I've taught this before, but there is always a place of blessing. I call it a commanded place of blessing. That place called there. And I did a whole message on this, but we'll just kind of refer to it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 through 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. I want to tell you, following the instruction of the Lord is vital. It will save your life. So first thing he tells him is leave here. Then he tells him exactly where to go, and you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. Now, to give this context, this is happening in the midst of a horrific famine. And yet God says, I know where some water is, and I know where you can get some food. Now, how many of you know God doesn't always answer our prayers or do what we need done the way we think it should be done? And I find this so amazing. You'll drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. Now, how many of you know, if you know anything about a raven, how many of you know ravens aren't bringing food to people? Ravens are scavengers, and they're not big on sharing food. But ravens are bringing food, apparently edible food, to this prophet because God told them to go there, and God used the something that you would never expect. You know, those are the best kind of miracles. When God does something and uses something that you would never expect. Remember, again, years ago, I had a friend. He's become a very, very dear friend of mine over the years. When I was working construction, man, he became a very dear friend of mine and really helped me, promoted me. He was an incredible teacher, taught me everything I needed to know about the safety field and was always there for me. You know, call me anytime you run into something. Call me if you have questions, that kind of thing. Wonderful guy, you know. But when I first met him, I'll be honest, I didn't like him. Because I remember the first time I met him, I wasn't in safety yet, but I'm in a safety meeting, and this guy is turning the air blue. And I mean, he is cussing like a sailor, and he is just telling everybody how the cow eats the cabbage. And and I'm thinking to myself, what a jerk. Anybody ever met somebody like that? I thought, man, what is wrong with this guy? And I didn't like him. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't like him. But somehow the Lord connected us. And it was a supernatural thing that he did and connected us. And I want to tell you that God used that man. And when we first got this building, it needed lights and needed all kinds of stuff. God used this man. He was temporarily out of work. Was going through a very hard time. Actually, his wife left him, and he was absolutely devastated over that. And I remember I called him one day, and I could tell something was wrong. And then he told me, and I said, man, can I pray for you? Can I pray? Yes, yes. And I prayed for him, and I did everything I could to encourage him. And you know, when we needed work done, he was an electrician by trade many years ago. He said, what do you need done over there? And, man, we needed a lot of work done over here. And he came over here. The man, out of his own pocket, did all the electrical work that needed to be done, put all kind of lights up in here, all new wire and stuff up in, especially this side over the sanctuary, and refused to take a dime and refused to allow us to pay for any materials or anything, right? God used that man. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, when I was as low could be, everybody I thought was a friend was no longer there. And when I was literally on my back on the bottom, I looked up and you were there. And I said, well, what you saw was not really me. When you looked up, what you saw was Jesus. What you saw was the Lord loving you through a person. And he said, well, I'll never forget it. And when it came time for us, you know, the Lord began to tell us, you need to, you know, I want to give you a house and I want you to stop working outside of the church and allow the church to pay a salary. Both of those were absolutely impossible and the church didn't have the money to pay a salary and I wasn't doing it for a salary. I didn't, but we had these prophetic words come three different states, three different pastors, all in 1 week, and then a lady in our church that all had the exact same prophetic word. That God said, it's time for you to stop working outside and allow the church to pay you a salary, and it's time for you to have your house, your own house. And put in your order. The last lady said, put in your order. God says he wants to give you exactly what you want. It was so crazy. It was the wildest time. And I'm thinking, this is impossible. This is absolutely impossible. But it's a long story, but the Lord made it all possible. Most of you have heard the story. I'm not going to tell the whole thing again. But the Lord made that possible. And when we've allowed the first salary to come to us, the church's finances doubled literally that week and never went back. And the Lord has been so faithful. And we've been able to do a whole lot of stuff all around the world because of his faithfulness. Now, I said all that to say, that began when we were praying about, Lord, how is this even going to be possible? And how many of you know you have to learn to stop asking God how it's going to be possible? Because it was an impossible situation. But once we allowed that to happen, God moved supernaturally in the lives of the people of this church. People got jobs who were out of work. People got raises over and over again. I mean, lots of people. It was crazy. They got promotions, that kind of thing. But here's the thing. I said all that to say, that man who the first time I saw him, I didn't want anything to do with him. I thought, this is not the kind of person I want to hang around, right? He needs Jesus real bad. What I didn't realize was that the way he was going to find Jesus was through me, right? But he called and said, I want to send a check for somebody who has cancer and I want to do it anonymously. Can I send it through your church? And your church can send it to them. I want it to be anonymous. I said, sure, we can do that. And so we did that. But when he sent that check, he sent two checks. Now, I had prayed about it. Pastor Cindy and I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to have a salary from here, give me a number, and I'll just believe for it. He gave me the number. I told Pastor Cindy, we believe for it. I didn't tell anybody else about it. When that man sent those two checks, he sent an extra check, and the extra one said pastoral support, and it was the exact number that God had given me, the exact number. And so, not only did this man do that, but every week for a solid year, this man sent a check that covered my salary. Now, I'm saying all that to say, God will take care of you through places you never expected. I never saw that coming. God said, you be where I told you to be, doing what I told you to do, and I'll send the ravens to feed you. I'll make sure there's a brook there to give you what you need to drink. Right? I've seen that happen in my life over and over again. I've seen that happen for this church over and over again. All right? So why do we throw out our belief in God? We throw it out the window as soon as our problems come our way. Why do we do that? So why do we in a moment's notice get so frustrated and so discouraged when problems come that if God is truly able to do anything, why? Why do we do that? I can guarantee you something, and I think you know what I'm going to say. I can guarantee you that the problem isn't with God's ability to meet our needs. It's never. The problem is our ability to trust God in everything that we face. I shared this the other day with the men in the men's Bible study. I started having a pain. I don't even know why. I don't know where it came from, but I started having a pain like from my back and into my ribs that got literally, I mean, it got unbearable. And it was, I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up in the morning in all kinds of pain. And I'm like, man. I'd tell Pastor Cindy, I'd say, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, this hurts. And I started wondering, is this from the bike wreck that I had? But, you know, all this time, you know, a couple years ago or whatever, and I was just wondering how in the world, where did this come from? And I'll never forget, Pastor Cindy said, I have seen you lay hands on people, and I've seen miracles happen and healings happen. Did you even bother to lay hands on yourself and believe God for healing for that? And how many of you know a man especially never wants to admit when they're wrong? And I realized, you know what? She's absolutely right. So I began to just believe the Lord, begin to speak to my own body, begin to speak. I don't even know what it was. I don't know what was causing it. I thought maybe I had a broken rib or something. That's what it felt like. I didn't know what was going on. I began to speak over that. And I began to lay hands on myself, you know, all along that area where the pain was. And I'm telling you, within a very short time, it was done. It was over, right? I'm telling you that as long as I've been serving the Lord, all the miracles, all the healings, all the incredible things that I've seen the Lord do, undeniably impossible things that I've seen him do. And yet, when I was feeling my own pain, I wasn't going to the source. I was very concerned about that pain. And there's something about it when you're in the midst of the pain. I can believe for you. I can believe for you, no problem. But when I'm feeling the pain for myself, well, that's different. That takes a whole different level of faith now. Because now I have to overcome all my own issues, right? In my own mind, and my own mind attacking me and everything else. And you know what I'm talking about because you all deal with it too. So, but God is faithful, and he'll do what can't be done. So, again, the problem is our ability to trust God in everything that we face. So many times, we are guilty of shutting down God's ability to work in our lives. We'll say it this way. Many times, believe it or not, we can tie his hands. This God who can do the impossible, and yet he has chosen for his church to operate by faith. And so I want to look at some hindrances and some things in our lives that keep us from receiving what we need from the Lord. Now, it's always a matter of receiving. Like I've told the story before about asking God, begging God to forgive me for something many years ago. I felt I was just so disappointed in myself and kept saying, please forgive me, please forgive me. And I'll never forget the Lord said, I wish you would just shut up. And he said, I forgave you the first time you asked. In fact, I forgave you 2,000 years ago. You don't need to keep asking me to forgive you. You need to receive the forgiveness I have offered you, right? It's the same way with healing. You need to receive it, right? You need to receive it. Now, understand that sometimes it takes asking more than once, but I'm going to tell you, I wasn't asking in faith. I didn't believe God forgave me. And so if I don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have been healed, there's nothing wrong. You keep asking until God says, I wish you would shut up. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, right? But when God says, all right, that's enough. It's enough asking. Receive it. Believe that it's already done, all right? So, again, we're going to see what needs to be in place for us to be on the receiving end of God's blessings. So, first, you need to realize that we can limit God's work in our life. He's an unlimited God, but yet he limits himself by not crossing the barrier of our own will, all right? So, I want to see tonight a couple of ways, and actually we're only going to get to the first one tonight, a couple of ways that you can tie the hands of God, and I'll say we can tie the hands of God. Number one is we limit God's work in our lives when we don't operate by faith, right? It's just really simple. I thank God that I grew up in a church where my pastor truly understood how faith works, and he always said that God told him, when God pretty much put him in the ministry, he told him, build my people's faith. When you build their faith, you help them. When you don't build their faith, you hurt them. And so that was something that he operated by all the time. I'm telling you, all his ministry, he operated by. But there was miracle after miracle that took place in his ministry. And so we limit God's work in our life when we don't operate by faith. And we complicate faith. We, you know, it really isn't complicated. It's not like some magical thing out there. You know, no, faith, it's pretty simple. It's just simply believing God. It's believing that he cannot lie. It's first finding out what he said and then standing upon that, believing and knowing that he cannot lie. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says this of Jesus. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So, you know, we have this situation where Jesus shows up to his own hometown pretty much, and he's not able to do anything. I mean, he did a few things, but he's not able to do what he is well able to do because of their lack of faith. So this shows us that we can tie the hands of God, right? Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Now, how many of you know most people, not all, but most people, at least people who call themselves Christian, don't have a problem believing that he exists. Would y'all agree? I mean, why would they even bother to go to church? Why would they even bother calling themselves a Christian if they didn't believe that he exists? But here's the thing. Even devils believe he exists. But also, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That so part of faith and part of what pleases God is not just knowing that he exists, but also knowing that as I earnestly seek him, man, he's looking to reward me. He's looking to bless me. He wants to. It's his heart's desire. You know, there are two powerful things that, again, come out of these verses. First, unbelief limits God's ability to do mighty works. Not that he can't do it, but it's because God has set these things in motion. Second, we can't even begin to please God or receive anything from him without faith. And so what causes us not to operate in faith? Well, people like to speculate, but if you want to get down to the root cause of things, you need to go to the Word of God and see what it says. So let's see what the Word says. In the verses previous to the one that we're about to read, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus in his answers. And they tried doing that all through the Gospels. You'll see that they're trying to trap him. But in Matthew 22:29, Jesus lays a very important spiritual principle out. Jesus answered them, "You are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." Now, you remember, I was talking about Pastor Cindy and I are having this conversation about having a zeal, and one thing that we want this church to be marked by is a zeal for the Word of God. But also, we want this church to be marked by the power of God. Amen? Because again, if you have both of those operating together, my goodness, you can. I mean, again, nothing really is impossible, right? So Jesus says, you're wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. He's laying out the two things that every human being desperately needs. And so this addresses the very core of our lack of faith. There's a difference in knowing what the Scriptures say and knowing the Scriptures. I've met a lot of people who could quote Scriptures. There's a lot of people in seminaries all over the country that can quote Scriptures, but they don't know the Scriptures. They don't know it. There are seminaries, it used to not be this way, but there are seminaries now, you know, places where people are supposedly teaching the Bible, where all they can do is basically rob the faith of anyone who attends their schools, because all they do is criticize and critique and try to tear apart and disprove the Bible. Instead of knowing the Scripture, they know about it and they can quote it. I met a Satanist one time when I was street witnessing, and I have never seen anybody who could quote Scriptures like this guy. Now, this man is a Satanist. All right? I'm talking about full-blown Satan worshiper. In fact, it's a long story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but the reason he stopped me on the street was because he had been in Satanism for 14 years. He's only 34 years old. I'm telling you, the man looked like he was 70 or 80. 34 years old. And he was absolutely demon-possessed. And he was, the Lord, you know, discerning of spirits began to operate while he's talking to me. And I knew the protection of the Lord was over me. And immediately he begins to, you know, he walks up to me and he says, "Are you a Christian?" I mean, he just walks right up to me out on the street in San Antonio. "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, sir, I am. And I need to talk to you." And then he begins to kind of explain what's going on. But before he can do that, he said, come on, just give me a scripture. Just give me a scripture reference, any scripture reference, anywhere in the Bible. I'll quote it for you. I said, okay. So I gave him one. He quoted it. He said, give me another one. I gave him another one. He quoted it. I gave him another one. He quoted it. He goes, why don't you just give me a whole chapter? I literally said a book and a chapter. The man quoted the entire chapter of the Bible. And then I realized what's happening. How many of you know the devil knows the scripture? And I realized what was happening. And I say he knows the scripture. He knows what the scriptures say. He knows about scripture, but he don't really know the scripture. Because how many of you know the Bible says Jesus is the word? You can't really know the scripture without truly knowing Jesus. And so this man begins to, I don't know, the more he did that, the more I realized, okay, this is just a devil trying to intimidate. Because once that gift of discerning of spirits began to operate, I knew what was happening. And then I turned to him and I said, hey, what's your name? And he said, well, there's power in names. But you can call me David. And I said, yeah, I want you to understand I know who you are and I'm not afraid of you. And I want you to understand that I am covered by the blood of Jesus and you can't do a single thing about it. Now, I wasn't talking to the man. All right? You can't do a single thing about it. And I said, you cannot intimidate me. And his voice began to change and demons began to, you know, manifest and all that, like just like an exorcist movie or something. I mean, right there on the street. And finally, I just told him to shut up. I said, you can't scare me. You can't intimidate me. My master defeated your master 2,000 years ago. You shut up and you let the man talk. You let David talk because that was the man's actual name. And so then he began to talk. And then he begins to say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And so I said, sure. And so it's a long story, but when it was all said and done, me and the little guy that I was street witnessing with, we prayed for him. And then when we left, I mean, the demons started manifesting and everything. And I would have to tell the demons to shut up so I could talk to the man. And he asked me to pray for him. I said, what do you want to know? He said, I want Jesus to show himself real to me. I want to know. I want Jesus to show himself real to me. And he told me, I've been a Satanist for 14 years, and I've done the most horrible things you can imagine. He said, right now, I'm on my way tonight, and I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th. And they take all that stuff very serious. And he tells me, he said, a lot of these businesses, the people here that have a lot of money around this city, he said, they're all involved in this stuff. And he said, tonight I'm supposed to, and this is what he told me, I'm supposed to sacrifice an innocent baby, and I don't want to do it. And so I prayed for him. And I prayed for protection, and he said, I have to go. And when he left, he said, I have to go, because if I don't go now, that baby's going to die. And the Lord showed me a vision of the Lord literally, you know, I'll never forget all these people like over an altar wearing, you know, hoods and like a big witch's coven type of thing. You know, and I saw the hand of God literally come down and just knock every one of them off of their feet and take that baby out all at the same time. And all I could say was, Lord, I trust you. I trust that that's what's happening here. And the man ran. He ran. And man, the rest of that night, I got back to the college. I called everybody. At the time, I was in the men's dorm. We weren't married yet. Cindy and I wasn't married. And called everybody together. Said, we got to pray. We got to pray for this baby. We got to pray for this man. And we did. We prayed for hours. And I just believe that the Lord moved in that situation. But I said all of that, told that whole story to tell you that just because people know what the scriptures say, even the Satanists could quote the scriptures. Just because they know what they say don't mean they know the scripture. Don't mean they know the word. All right? I can read a book about a famous person, and I could recite, you know, maybe all the major achievements in their life, even the major failures of that person's life. And if you don't know much about me or don't realize it, you might think that I might even know that person that I was talking about because I know so many details. Yet, I may not know them at all. I may just know about them. And there's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about Jesus, about the Bible, but they don't know it. They don't know the scripture. And there's a lot of that stuff is going on in the body of Christ. People know about the scriptures. I hear it when I hear people say this, and I've heard this many times over the years. They say, you know, I know that's what the Bible says. But anytime they say, I know that's what the Bible says, and then they add this word, but. I know what the Bible says, but. I want to tell you, they may know what it says, but they don't know it. Anytime you put the but in there, come on, tell somebody, you ought to keep your butt out of that. True knowing has to do with experience. See, I can know about it, but God wants us to know his word. He wants us to experience it. So again, what they're telling me is when it comes to truly knowing the truth of the scripture and experiencing those words, the word of God for themselves, they're clueless. They really don't know. Here's another one. I hear people, you've heard people say it too. I mean, you can tell that they're pretty much biblically ignorant, but yet they'll say things when you try to bring them to the word. They'll say things like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I grew up in church. I know that Bible backwards and forwards. Anybody ever had that said to them? I've heard a lot of people, I know that Bible backwards and forwards. Okay, all right, then prove it. Share one scripture backwards. So in fact, you can't even probably share one scripture forward, much less backwards, right? I've met a Satanist that knows the Bible better than you, all right, or knows of the Bible, knows what it says. So people say that stuff and they discount it. I remember Pastor Cindy was trying to minister to somebody one time, and they got mad at her. And, you know, because again, she's all about the word. And they got mad at her and said, I didn't want you to just tell me a bunch of stuff out of the Bible. I want you to tell me what to do about this situation. And Pastor Cindy said, it's not my job to tell you what to do about your situation. It's my job to tell you what God's word says about your situation. But people get aggravated. They know about the Bible, but they don't know his word. All right. Question that you need to ask yourself tonight, today, is which side of the fence am I on? If you want to operate in faith, then you must go from the shallow, the what we call, and it's not wrong to have the logos, but the logos word, which is simply the written word, and get underneath the surface to what's called the rhema word, which is the living word. It's where the word of God comes alive for you. Again, I've shared this example many times over the years because it was my pastor's testimony where he was given this life sentence, basically, as far as a disease that came upon him when he was 19 years old. Now, Pastor Holton lived to be, I think he was 94, 95, I don't remember exactly, but it's mid-90s, all right? So he's 19 years old, and he's being told by the doctor that no person has ever lived beyond 10 years with this particular disease. So basically, you're not going to live beyond 29, and there's nothing we can do about it. And Brother Holton was, at the time, he was preaching. He was young. He was traveling around the country, and he was preaching at a young age as a teenager. And he said he was in so much pain at times, and he was just losing weight, and he was in so much pain. One time while he was preaching, he literally, out of pain, he passed out behind the pulpit. And he said, I begged God to let me go home. And he said God told him, if you go home, your family will kill you with sympathy. I had never heard anybody say anything like that. Your family will kill you with sympathy. Sometimes in our nature, in our carnal mind, what we're looking for is sympathy. And so I caution you, when you're going through something, don't look for sympathy. Look for faith. God said, you stay out on the field. They're going to kill you with sympathy if you go home. All of his pastor friends, they didn't understand anything about divine healing. And they would all say, Brother Holton, they would cry. They would cry. And they'd say, Brother Holton, you're going to die. You're going to die. And he said, I had to get a word from God. And this is where this really came alive to him, understanding the difference between the logos and the rhema word. As he said, I went into my bedroom and he said, God, I have to hear from you. And he began to get into the word, and that's when he found Psalm 119. I forget what the actual verse is, but where it says, I shall not die, but live. And he took that as, he said, it's like it lit up on the page. And it became alive, it literally came alive for him, and it became his word. And it got in his heart. Now, he said, I've read that many times over the years. Many people have read it. You know, people just read the Bible. He said, I've read it many times over the years, but it went from being a logos to rhema. What is the rhema? The rhema is when God is now speaking to you. And you take that for yourself. It's God speaking to you through his word. And that's where faith comes from. It's not trying to convince yourself in the mind. It's when you catch it in your spirit and you know. As he, Brother Holton, used to say, you know when you're knower. So you really never, ever know the power of God unless you experience the power of his word. So Jesus said it himself. He said, you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Well, I can't have a casual attitude about the word and expect to experience the power of the word. And so many people in the modern church, especially American church, they have a casual attitude about the word. You're constantly being challenged in here, read the word, read the word, read the word. Don't let Sundays or Wednesdays or a men's Bible study or a ladies' Bible study, don't let that be the only word you get in your life. Get in that word. Hear from God, and don't just read it, but ask God to illuminate it to you. Ask God to make it real to you. Ask God to speak to you through that word. People that have a casual attitude about the word of God are not going to experience the power of God the way God wants them to experience it. It's just not going to happen. So it's got to get into your spirit, and then it's going to transform your mind, because you have to catch it with your spirit, and then when your mind opposes it, you renew your mind with that revelation that God gave you. You literally have to rewire your brain. You have to change the way you think. That's what repentance is. So your brain says, no, no, that can't happen. And then the Spirit of God in you through his word says, oh, not only can it happen, but it will happen. So faith and the word of God are inseparable. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, notice how it says that. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. It's a hearing in your spirit. Now, I've taught this for years and years and years and years. And so you guys that have heard this over and over again, understand we have folks in here at very different levels across the room. So if you can really get the revelation of that, yeah, I can read the Bible, and I can read it all the way through, but if I'm not hearing from God as I'm reading the Bible, I'm not going to experience the supernatural life he wants me to experience. And so as I hear from God, like, what are you really saying? When I hear that, faith arises in my heart. The King James says it this way, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is the word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to awaken a response of faith in us. Now, we've all been given the measure of faith. It's already done, right? It's a seed. It's in seed form. Everything that we have is in seed form. He's given us that measure. He's given us that seed of faith. But as we hear from God and we hear that word, that faith grows. God's never going to give us any more faith than what we already have. It does us no good to say, God, please give me the faith for this. He's going to say, I already gave you all the faith you need. You need to do something with it. What do you need to do with it? You need to water it with the word. That there is no other way. I can tell you testimony after testimony about incredible things that God has done, but testimonies in themselves is not going to build your faith. It may change your mind to a certain degree, but then your real belief system is going to overtake that. So I started to tell you about my mother being miraculously healed, and I'm at this other church, and I'm talking to this man, and I start telling him about it, and his response to me was, it's amazing. It's amazing what the mind can do, huh? I said, well, it wasn't the mind. It was the presence of the Lord. It was faith that rose up and took a hold of the promise for my mother, and she was supernaturally, miraculously healed. He said, well, you know, I believe in the power of positive thinking. I said, she wasn't thinking positive at the moment. She was in the presence of God, and God healed her. Now, I'd much rather somebody think positive than to think negative. But just thinking positive, thinking positive isn't faith. Hearing from God and believing what he said, that's faith. And that's going to produce a positive response. But people try to do it backwards. They try to cause faith to happen by just trying to believe something in their head, but that's not what causes faith. It's when you believe it in your heart. That's where faith arises, and then you renew your mind, and you get that obstacle out of the way. So if you have a faith problem, then more than likely you have a hearing problem too. Again, the Holy Spirit uses the seed of faith, or he uses the word to awaken the faith and to cause that faith to begin to grow. Your spiritual ears may be stopped up, and your spiritual ears aren't on your head. They're on your heart. How many times have you sat through a church service and you didn't really hear what was being preached? I think we've all been guilty of that one time or another. You were thinking possibly about your problems. You were thinking about, you know, how am I going to get through this crisis? Just completely overwhelmed. I had a guy, I'll never forget, I had a guy. He sat through a service, and afterwards he wanted to talk to me. And I said, okay. So we're talking, and he starts telling me this particular issues going on in his life. And he literally sat through the whole service. But I noticed as he's sitting through the service, he's sitting with his head down the whole time. He's just kind of looking down. He's not like, and when he told me what was going on, I said, did you not just sit through that service? Because every single issue, every single thing you're talking to me about now, God already provided the answer in that service. Everything, God knew exactly what you were dealing with, but you didn't bother to listen to him, because everything that you were talking about, the Lord dealt with through his word in this service, but you didn't pay attention to any of it. He said, yeah, I was kind of distracted. I said, well, then what you need to do is go back and listen to the service. Don't bother even talking to me right now. Just go listen to what the Lord was saying, because it was just for you, but you didn't even bother to listen. Many times that's the problem. People are sitting here thinking about their problems while God's trying to give you the answer to the problem. Sometimes I don't know where that money's going to come from. You know, that's a big one for people. Here's another. I wonder what we're going to eat for lunch. I wonder why so-and-so is not sitting with so-and-so today. I hope he don't preach too long. It's football season. I want to go see the Saints lose another game. We got to hurry up and get out of church. There are people who go to church every week, and when they leave that service, they can say, I'm no better off now than I was when I came in. And they're telling the truth, right? But my question to them is, did they hear the word with their heart so that they could produce faith in their life? Or did it just bounce off of a hard heart like a ping pong ball? And unfortunately, that's how it is many times. You know, many people can't really hear from God because, and I love this, I think it was A.W. Tozer that first quoted this, many people can't really hear from God because they've already decided that they aren't going to do what he says. I want you to think about that one again. They can't hear from God because they've already decided that they're not going to do what he said. The moment you say no, the moment God speaks to you or gives you a direction and you refuse to do it, you're not going to hear anything else. And I often tell people, they say, I can't hear from God. I just can't hear from God anymore. And I say, well, have you ever heard from God? Yeah. Well, what's the last thing he told you to do? Go back to that point. Obey the Lord, and you'll begin hearing from him again. He's not going to waste his breath, right? In fact, he told us, don't cast your pearls before the swine, right? So without obedience to God's word, true faith cannot exist. Why don't you tell your neighbor, live life unlimited. Listen, be a person of the word and ask God to open those scriptures up to you and to help you open your heart to the scriptures. So that's number one. But I want you to understand, listen, I know sometimes, I don't know, it sounds like it to me, maybe not to you, but sometimes it sounds like just hard words. Sometimes it sounds like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm being mean when I'm speaking. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, you know, why are you being so mean to these people? And then people go, no, that's not the case. If it's God's word, it's good medicine. Amen. So I've said it many times, but and I know this sounds gross, but before I can give it to you, it's kind of like a bird feeding their chicks, you know. I got to chew it up first, right? I got to chew it up first before I can give it to you. So it hurts me just as bad as it hurts you, all right? Don't limit God. Isn't it incredible that the supernatural God, the God who spoke everything into existence, the God that put our nervous system together and our miles of vascular system together and our nervous system and all of the complicated, crazy, unimaginable things. Like, we don't even know how things work, but yet they work. We don't really understand DNA and how it works yet. It's so incredible. I mean, it's just, you know, everything that God did, and that God limits himself to our faith. That's amazing to me, that you and I have the ability to tie God's hands. And again, we know that because Jesus said so. I don't ever want to tie his hands. Man, I want his hands working. The right hand and the left. And remember, sometimes you see his power happening on the right hand. That's his strength. You know, the right hand of God, the Bible always talks about it being that's the power. But sometimes God's also working on the left hand or with the left hand. And the left hand is typically when you don't see what he's doing, but he's doing it, right? But we have the ability to tie his hands, and I don't want to tie his hands. I believe with all of my heart that this specific church, this body, you, that there is a specific anointing upon you. There's a stream of anointing that flows into this ministry from some very powerful, incredible sources from years and years and years of men and women who have done ministry where the supernatural has happened over and over again in ways that people cannot explain. And people are desperate to know that God is real. And that needs to be demonstrated in our life. Amen? So let's stop tying God's hands. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you, Lord, for all the times where they've stepped out over and over again, Lord, in obedience to you and, Lord, and laid hands on each other in this house, Lord. And I thank you for the answered prayers and the miracles and the healings and all the various things that we've seen happen. But Father, I pray that you would expand that for each one. Lord, that wherever we are, wherever we go, Lord, understanding we carry the anointing, Father, that they didn't get certain jobs because you just wanted to give them a paycheck. Lord, they have a mission there. There's something that you want them to do there that counts for the kingdom. Lord, everywhere we go, I pray, help us to remember who we are. And Father, I pray, truly, open the Word up to us. Open the Scriptures up to us so that we can truly, truly see what you're saying. That we can hear with our spirit, hear with our heart, knowing, God, what your will is for our every situation. Lord, I know you desperately want to use us. Lord, I thank you for marking us for the gospel. Lord, I pray that there be just an increase, Lord, of hunger in our hearts for your word. An increase of hunger in our hearts for your power to manifest through us, not for our glory, but for your glory, Jesus. I pray even this week, use them. Use them for your glory. May your power flow through them. May your life flow through the words that they speak to others. And we thank you for that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're in agreement, won't you shout amen? Amen.